according to Siddha Hasidim, and that appears to be the Pesach Halacha by the Knesset Yisrael. Hanachu Elu Yisrael, Ilav Nidim, Ein Neini Vinei, and the Knesset Yisrael throughout the ages, I could say probably for more than a millennium, has passed like the Siddha Hasidim. Not like Amit Tam, not like Amit Yisrael Goyen, not like the Havoy Stasis, not like the Ari, but like the Siddha Hasidim. Because in mentioning Yudimu Mides, so we mention the Pasuk of Yisralachto, Avineinu, Chatzeinu, Chaltonu, side by side with the Pasuk of Adishem, Adishem, Kilrachon, Vechanina, Chapayim, Rabchesimim. So the question is, so we have in the first Pasuk, we only have 10 minutes. So where do we have the other three? The other three we have in the other Pasuk. Yisralachto, Avineinu, that's 11th Midah, Bisalachlo Yechatseinu, there's a 12th Midah, Umchaltonu, the letter of Chaltonu means, and you will make us into your inheritance. That means, so Rashi explains it, in other words, that you make us as your chosen people, as a unique people. Amam Lechas Kiyam in the Yikodesh, that's how we are a unique people. We're not a unique people by doing what Kolek, the mayor of Yerushalayim, does. They're not unique people. We are Mechalas Hashem. But we are unique people if all the nations of the world says that Am Chocham V'Novim, that the Jewish people is Imam L'Haskeyam V'Gi Kodesh. So that's the 13th meeting. So there is a certain difficulty. In the first passage, we have three midas, Nesi Obey, one, Fesha, two, Chator, three. Now here we have the 11th midah is Solachto Abineinu, 12th midah is Solachto Echatuseinu, the 13th midah is Nochaton. All right, Nochaton is something separate. But it seems, certainly at first blush, that Vishalachto Avineinu is the same midah as Nesi Oved. What does Nesi Oved mean? That Rabbeinu Shalom forgives for Avinus. And what does Vishalachto Avineinu mean? That Rabbeinu Shalom forgives for Avinus, so it's Hanah. So why mention it again? It was already mentioned. And Nesi Chator is the same as the Solachto Lechatuseinu. Why is it mentioned separate? And then something else, something remarkable. In the first pasuk, the Torah spells out Nesi Ovei, Nesi Fesha, Nesi Chator. What is Ovei, what is Fesha, what is Chator? So the Gemara in Yume says, and Achlik is annoying, but we pass them like the Rabbonim, like Mandoma, that Avenis means amazing, Chator means the Shegeg, and Pesha means Neride. More than amazing. Treason, rebellion. So here too, you should say, Yisalachto, Labineinu, Ulpisheinu, Ulchatoseinu. So why do the Torah just say, Yisalachto, Labineinu, Ulchatoseinu? And doesn't say the Solachto Labaneinu Pisheinu Hatuseinu? Why not? And what's the difference between the midas of Nesi Oven Bafesha Vechator and the midas of Solachto Labaneinu Hatuseinu? On the surface, at first blush, they appear to be the same thing. But in order to understand this, we have to understand what we are saying in every tefillah in Kippur. Kulon, Slachlon, Chalon, Kata. What is Slachlon and what is Kata? Well, Katalon is something different. Kata means Kapor. Kapor is all the machine put out. Rashi, you made the Ramban, all the machine. Kapor really means to wipe off. So it means wipe off the effect of sin. So in other words, the person does tshuva. Those two more, and then it wipes off the effect of sin. So it's a result of Nechila and Slicha. But what is the difference between Slachlon and Nechalon? Slachlon means forgive us, and Nechalon means forgive us. Now I saw, I'm not going to mention it, but in one English translation of the Malzahn, the Siddur, I'm not going to mention it. So they translate, Slachlonu forgive us, and Nechalonu pardon us. I think so that way around. I mean, I don't like to discuss semantics, but every word has a certain meaning. I mean, certain Webster's dictionary is an expert in telling the meaning of words. Now, there is an expression in English, forgive, and there is an expression in English, pardon. Now, there is such a thing in civilized society as a pardon being given by a chief executive. Let's say, in American law, so when somebody commits a federal crime, so the president has the right to grant him a presidential pardon. Let's say President Lincoln granted a presidential, full presidential pardon for all those who participated on the side of the Confederates. Because actually, according to the law, they were all guilty of treason. All of them. All of them. And they deserve capital punishment. They were all guilty of treason. Everyone who fought on the side of the Southern state, the President, Lincoln, granted them a presidential pardon. Now, President Reagan sometimes grants a presidential pardon. There's a whole discussion, an argument in Kuach by the media people whether President Reagan is expected to grant a presidential pardon to Poindexter and to Oliver Norton. Some say yes, some say no. But the president has the right to grant a presidential pardon. The governor of the state, the chief executive of the state, has the right to grant a gubernatorial pardon to everyone. And sometimes, when the governor or the president grants a pardon, it's not a full pardon. Sometimes it's a full pardon. And President Lincoln granted a pardon for all the people who participated on the side of the Confederates, so it's a full pardon. They want him arrested for one day, nothing for 1 hour. But sometimes the governor or the president can commute the sentence from death penalty to life imprisonment. From life imprisonment to 5 year prison. So there is such a thing as a partial presidential or gubernatorial pardon. I think that Slachno, according to the way that Webster's dictionary explains pardon and forgive, so pardon is the equivalent of slachno, and forgive is the equivalent of nechama. We know that's mentioned in the halacha all the time, that if somebody owes a debt to another person, so he can be neichel the debt. He can be neichel the debt. Why? Because he owes Ruben Bauer $1,000 from Shimon. He owes him personally. He's the Baldobo. So he owes him $1,000. He's the Abrigi Shimon. So the Abrigi has the right to forgive, to cancel the debt. Why? Because it is due to him as the Baldobo. But when President Lincoln granted a presidential pardon to all the soldiers of the Confederates. So, did he grant that pardon in the capacity of the law? Did they commit a crime personally against President Lincoln? No, he granted the pardon in the capacity of the chief executive of the United States. So that's slachno.
Nichalno is descriptive of forgiving, but Nichil.
Now, when a person commits an aver, it doesn't make any difference whether it's an aver Nirumoki or aver Nirumchavere, whether it's an aver like Chil Shabbos, Achil Sindere, Kvenche, or it's an avere of Chil Bechavere, Vitiche, or Mount Nechavere Barabi. So, that the Beni Shalom has a double role. First of all, every aver, whether it's Nirumoki, Nirumchavere, so the Rebbeinu Shalom is about Dovah. He commits an aver against the Rebbeinu Shalom. Certainly when it's the Chol Shabbos, he commits an aver of another mocking against the Rebbeinu Shalom. And when he kills, when he hurts, when he's mouthing the Chaver of a Rabbi, he doesn't commit a wrong against the Rebbeinu Shalom. Of course he does. So it's a double wrong. It's a wrong committed against the person, the victim, and it's a wrong committed against the Rebbeinu. So the Rebbeinu is the Valdova in Yahweh. And the Rebbeinu is the chief judge of the universe, the custom judge of the universe, shaping Allah. And the Rebbeinu is also the chief executive. President Reagan is only the chief executive of the United States, but the Rebbeinu is the chief executive of the universe, not just the earth, the whole universe. Now, we all know, every child in kindergarten knows that there are three branches in the government. There is the legislative branch, there is the judicial branch, and there is the executive branch. So Congress represents the legislative branch of the federal government. The courts, all the courts together with the Supreme Court, so representing the judicial branch, and the president and all the cabinet members, they represent the executive branch. Malchuse di are ki malchuse di shmaye, or malchuse di shmaye ki malchuse di are, many Rishonim use that expression too. So the Rebbeinu Shalom also has three branches. He administers the world, so there is. So he has three roles, not branches, Chassid Shalom. Three roles. And they are all vested in the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rebbeinu Shalom is the source of legislation. And among Congress, all right? So the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed the right upon people to legislate, Malchus, so on. But the source of legislation is vested in the Rebbeinu Shalom. He is the source of morality. He is the source of ethics. He is the source of law. But even Malchus Reini, the Medrash Rabbeinu says, "Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Osov Teiv Mi'ein Teiv Ze Malchus Shamayim Mei Ze Malchus Reini Is Me Yaneis Yechal Malchus Reini Teiv Mi'ein." A daily answer, because more in your role is just very high way. So the Rebbeinu Shalom bestowed the right upon men to issue laws, otherwise to be issues very high way. That's in the Broche mentioned in Breishis. So the Yirdu b'Gasayom leit Hashamayim. That men should have dominion over the earth. How can you have dominion without government? In order to fulfill that mandate that is imposed upon men. So he must legislate. He must, of course. And that's one of the Zionists in the Neach, dealing. So the Rebbeinu Shalom invested men, every society of men, even the non-Jewish society, with the power to legislate and to judge and to execute law. But the source of legislation is the Rebbeinu Shalom. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is Malchuset Yishmael. So we don't have three separate branches. Everything is vested in the Rebbeinu Shalom's hands. And excuse me the expression, hands
in the figurative sense, so that Rabbi Sharon is the chief legislator for the universe, and he is the chief judge, he is the cosmic judge, the Sheikh of Lords, and he is the chief executive of the universe. I think those who shame him say, like Kavitam, that the first midday, the first Abai, the second midday, the second Abai, the third midday is Kael. The Ari in Isidra raises the question, how can the Shein Havaya, which is Shein HaFeresh, which is descriptive of the Rebbeinu Shalom's essence, how can it be treated as a midah through the Shein Havaya, Sidra HaSchachim? But that's for the Rebbeinu Shalom. How can it be emulated by man? And the Simcha Sidra, Rabbi Achos says, even Kael, through that Kael signifies the Rebbeinu Shalom's Rachmin, because the Rachmin is relationship to the world, but it's still a sham. It's also esoteric. It's a blowbound inquisitive west. It's not imitable by man. But we are hosting. So how did the Rishon say that the first meeting is the first Havaya, and the second meeting is the second Havaya, and Kael is the third meeting, but these are shameless? The answer is, the mitzvah of Lachta B'drochot applies even to the first and the second midday and the third midday. Now the question is, there are three separate chains, Havaya and Kael. So Kael, Rashi says, is also Midas Harachamim. Why is it Midas Harachamim? Because Kael Loma Zatam. But why is three separate midas? So, one midah of Havaya, of Rachamim, Kedim Sheyachto, and the other midah of Rachamim, Lacha Sheyachto. So the Rosh has the Kashi in Rosh Hashanah, Kedim Sheyachto, why do the Rebbeinu have to have recourse to Rachamim? Lacha Sheyachto. So there could be Midas Adin and there could be Midas Rachamim. But Kedim Sheyachto, so it's all being. The Torah says, Loisase, Pesa, or the Sisa Shema Vishem, the Kechol Ashov, or the Sase Kamulocho, or Kabiz Vicha Sinecho, or the Seals of the Sinoch, the Sidney, the Samen Rach, the Shaka, the Sachme. So, testimony, Tamidis Rachim. That's being. That represents a categorical imperative. What kind of Rachman is there? So the Rosh gives the Teretz, because sometimes even Kedim Sheyachto, the Rebbeinu Shalom resolved in this life. Why? I think it's very simple. The three Shemes represent the three different roles of the Rebbeinu Shalom as the source of everything, and as the creator, and as the one who constantly guides the destiny of man. On one hand, the Rebbeinu Shalom has the role of the chief legislator. What is right and what is wrong? What is right, what is wrong? The Rebbeinu Shalom determines what is right, what is wrong. I heard from my father in the name of Chaim once explained the Rambam Chazal that when the Rebbeinu Shalom created the world, so nistakel b'terosei u'boro ilomei. Literally, he was looking in the Torah and the created ones, as Chaim said, we see there is a harmony between the Inyan Torah and human nature. Human nature, the innate human ethics dictates that love thy neighbor as thyself is the highest good. Innate human ethics dictates that murder is the most terrible thing. And also the Oretz to the Chukot in Damshi is the most terrible thing. So one could say, why was the Torah given that way? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to adapt the Torah preliminates. That's the point. Why is human nature that way? Because that is the law of the Torah. The Torah preceded the creation of the world. So the world was created in accordance with the Mao principles of the world was created in accordance with the Mao principles of the Torah. Why does every human being, Jew or non-Jew alike, feel that murder is the most terrible thing? Why? Because the creation still in the sight of a human being that it's a terrible thing, and that the brotherly love is a wonderful thing. That's the meaning of the statue with the Jose Ball on it. So the reason as to why certain things are evil and certain things are good, because that's the law of God. Of course, human nature dictates the same thing. The statue with the Jose Ball on it. So the Danish Shalom Habaye Chibushiach. In other words, the Torah, there are certain laws of the Torah that Chazal say, the meek no Torah elo kineged yitzhar hara. Kineged yitzhar hara, the Torah mentions it in respect to the Kaspea, because actually it's not a nice deed. But the Torah grants a concession to human frailty. The Tzid Hasidim says that the reason is why one is allowed to be mature, to divorce his wife according to the Stilah, even if it's a Tichta Shilei, but it's a terrible thing. Atom Galish Ishtar Hashem, Atom Yizbeach Nere Lod Noiz. So as the Hasidim says, again, we need to feel if Nere Lod Tzara, what will be the alternative if he's not allowed to divorce his wife? So then she'll have to live with him. The life of misery and suffering. So it's better that he divorces her. But it's not a nice thing. So the Bein Shalom is giving the Torah to cognizance of human frailty. That means that the Torah, that the Bein Shalom as the legislator, as the cosmic legislator, as Havayah Kidmachet, what does it mean, Havayah Kidmachet? As a legislator. Lachachet! Then the second Havaye, then the Bein Shalom acts out the role of the chief judge of the universe, of the Sheikh of Kohar. So not only does the Bein Shalom have recourse in his role as the Sheikh of Kohar, as the Midasarach, in his role as the cosmic legislator, he also has recourse to Midasarach. Rochel Adakineyam, the Homes of Israel Shalom, the certain laws of the Torah that the Torah granted as a concession to human frailty, the Torah of the Rachmanes, for the human being. So that's the Havayah Kidmachet. And then Keil is also in the Sarah. Keil designates the Bein Shalom's role as the chief executive of the universe. Keil Loma Zachar. So the Bein Shalom has three roles. Now, would say, Alkulom, Slachlom, Michalom, Kapalom. Because when a person commits an aveir, whether it's aveir non lamokim or aveir non lachaveir, so he commits an aveir against the Rebbein Shalom. The Rebbein Shalom is a baldovo. As a baldovo, he has to be faithful to the kingdom. If you commit a wrong to a certain person, so you don't have to call it. Neither children nor in kikar is mechaper unless yam ratzis chaveir. Ratzis chaveir. So, when you commit an aveir, you commit a wrong against the Rebbein Shalom also. So, mainly you have to retrieve it to the Rebbein Shalom, but the Rebbein Shalom doesn't forgive unless yam ratzis chaveir too. But the Rebbein Shalom is also another. So, mainly mechile is granted by the Rebbein Shalom in his capacity as the Baltova. Sliche is granted by the Rebbein Shalom in his capacity as the chief judge of the universe, in his capacity as the chief executive of the universe. So, just the same way, I mean, just to make it understandable, I mention this example, Chas V'Shalom. As President Lincoln granted an amnesty and the pardon to all those who were guilty of treason, but he got the law. They didn't commit any wrong against him. They committed the wrong against the American people. But, as chief executive, he has the right to grant the pardon, so that the official sometimes can grant the pardon, that slicha, and some as the chief judge of the universe, as the chief executive of the universe, and sometimes he forgives as he forgives. So there is one distinction. That as far as Michil is concerned, it couldn't be partial. True, you ask me, suppose Reuben borrowed from Shimon $10,000, and then Shimon waives only $5,000. It's effective. So isn't it a partial Michil? No, it's not a partial Michil. When one borrows $10,000, so he doesn't owe $10,000 as a unit. He owes every dollar of the $10,000. Every penny of the $10,000. So, it's not a partial mechilah. If he can't only be raised by $5,000. It means that it's a full mechilah in respect to the $5,000, because each dollar he owes separately. One is not a good data. But there is no such thing as a partial mechilah. Most things. If somebody commits a wrong against you, he destroyed your life, and then he asks you to come here. You can't tell him, I forgive you partially. It makes sense. Either you forgive him or you don't forgive him. No such thing. It doesn't make sense to forgive partially. But you pardon, the president can grant it in pardon. And sometimes it's a partial pardon. He can use the sentence from death to life imprisonment, from life imprisonment to 10 years prison, and so on. Or he enables him to be released after good behavior a number of years. So it's a partial part. It's not a full part. So that's the difference between the first passage. ויעביר על השם אופנו ויפקו עד השם על השם כל רחם וחנון ערך הפיים ואף חסד אמס נעצה חסד ואלופים נעשי אובן ופשע וחתו. And then we ask the calling to Rabbi Rachosi, and that is the Ahoy of the Knesset Israel, and this is how it appears from Mever Shechata. So, what's the difference between Nisi Oven, Fesha Vechato, and the Solachto Abneinu Chatoseinu Chalpomu is something else. So Abne Chaseinu. And then, why is it that here, the person, the second part, the Torah just said the Solachto Abneinu Chatoseinu, it doesn't say Abneinu Pishenu Chatoseinu. And there it says, Nisi Oven Fesha Vechato. Because in the first passage, when the Torah mentions Nisi Oven Vepesha Vechato, it has reference to the Rebbeinu Shalom's Mechile in his role as the Baldova. So, that can be total. There is no such thing as a partial Mechile. Either you forgive or you don't forgive. So, but the second passage is Ruach Wadim Hatsin. Sometimes the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't grant a full Mechile. In other words, he's not meichel to paint a person in his capacity as a Baldova. But he grants him pardon in his capacity as the Sheikh of Lords, in the same way as the president grants a pardon to a certain criminal, in the same way as the governor grants a pardon to a certain criminal. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, in his capacity as the chief judge, the cosmic judge of the universe, Shapekor, in his capacity as the chief executive of the universe, he grants the pardon. Now, the pardon can be partial too. So it seems, now the Gemara in Yuma says, Obein has reference to Mezi, Chato has reference to Shevi, and Pesha has reference something more wicked than Mezi, that's Meride. In respect to Mechile, that is granted by the Rebbeinu Shalom, in his capacities about the law. So if a person does the real tshuva and in the proper conditions, so there can be nothing granted. But as in the Rebbeinu Shalom's role as the chief executive and the Shevet Kol Haaretz, the Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't grant the pardon. If as in his capacity as a Shevet Kol Haaretz for Averes of Merida B'Mezi, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. And we find in the parsha of the Meraglim, when the Meraglim said that it's impossible to take possession of Eretz Kanaan, because it's an Eretz Echeles Yishvel, and then they conspired to go back to Mitzrayim. So then, calling them Yeshua ben Nun, they rent their garments. Vayimu el kolaz mi Yisroelim li, ho Eretz asher obalnu bo lo sorei sotei bo Eretz mei dnei, im chofit kun ad Yishem beidu yisonu lo Eretz azeis nisonu lo Eretz asher izo vascholu bud vosh, al bad Yishem altim reidu vatem altiru es ham Eretz, ki lachmeinu heim so tzil malim vad Yishem iton altirom. They said, Arba Dishem al Timredu. That was the Pesha by the Meraglim. It was the Pesha. And then Meisha Rabbeinu said, when he pleaded before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, Slachno la Rabbeinu Mazeh, ki gedol chasdecho, b'chashon sos lo mazeh mitzchayim vareinu. So he said, Slachno, when the pardon, he didn't say Nechalno. So he said, Slachno. So why? Because he didn't say Slachno Labein Amraglin, Slachno Labein Omazeh, because the Rebbeinu Shalom at first wanted to meet out a collective penalty against the whole Klal Yisrael, not only the Meraglin. So as far as the Klal Yisrael in its entirety is concerned, it was not an act of Meridah. As far as the Meraglim are concerned, Meisha Rabbeinu didn't even say Slachno. He could say Nechalno, but how could he say Nechalno? So, it's Nechalno Yishavim, they didn't do the proper tshuva. They didn't do the proper tshuva. It's not mentioned in the Torah that the Meraglim did tshuva. It's not mentioned in the Torah that they did tshuva. But as far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, so it was only an obey, it wasn't a pesha. For Rabbeinus, Visolachto, Rabbeinu Mulchatoson. So there can be Sliche, the Rabbeinu Shel can grant the power of his capacity and the Shevet Kol Haaretz. But Meisha Rabbeinu realized that there couldn't be any Sliche in regard to the Meraglim. There could be Mechile, but they didn't. He didn't do the proper tshuva, so he didn't say Nechalno, but he said Slachno. I mean, because Slachno can be partial pardon too. I mean, after all, they stayed in the Mikvah for 40 years. It wasn't a full pardon, but it was a commuted sentence. At first, the Rebbeinu Shalom said that he's going to blot out the Jewish people. And then Meisha Rabbeinu pleaded on behalf of the Jewish people and he said, Slachno. So the Rebbeinu Shalom granted the pardon, the partial pardon. It's a commuted sentence from death to a certain number of years of prison. 40 years of prison. But in the Galton Meraglim, it was an avera of pshoim. There is no pardon granted against pshoim. It has to be granted by the Rebbein Shalom in his capacity as the Valdovar. And in his capacity of Valdovar, so Chazal say, Binake loinake, Ninake hu rishobim, Loinake leinam shodet. There's no such thing as Mechile in the capacity in his role as the Valdovar Lishenam shodet. In his role as Shirt Kolaret, it can be even Lishenam shodet. Now, Rebbe Shita is that you keep out as Mechape or without Shuvah. Without Shuvah, except for others. So this is Hishenim, this is Rosh Hashanah, this is a very strange question. Why was the second Bishamitish for the Kodesh? They didn't get Shuvah, why? If Kippah was Mechape, there's something in Kippahs. Why was the second Bishamitish for the very strange question? I mean, I wouldn't dare ask such a question. But Hishenim has the question. So, here the answer that Hashem gave. So two tabutsi. One tarot is because we had the Abeira of Sin Sfinom by Hashem, and the Rebbe is made that Abeira Shimon Chaveira, so Yitzhita is not the Chaveira without Mitzvah Chaveira. And they want the Ratz Chaveira. The second tarot is that the Rebbe is made that the Kaporet Mure a person cannot have without you. Kaporet Tzas, but not the Kaporet Mure. What do you mean, Kaporet Mure, Kaporet Tzas? The answer is, it all depends. In the Rebbein Shalom, grants Mechile, in his role as the Valdovar, so then it's Kaporet Mure. But if the Rebbein Shalom does not grant a Mechile in his role as a Valdovar, because the person is not with the proper children, but he still grants a pardon in his role as the chief judge of the universe, in his role as the chief executive of the universe, then it's a presidential, it's a partial pardon. It's not a full pardon. So then it's only Kaporet Tzas. It's not a Kaporet Mure. So that's the reason as to why, according to Rav Yehuda HaChosid, Sefer Chasidim, so we have separate midas. So that is, as reference to the Rebbein Shalom's midas of forgiving in his role as the Valdovar, and the other is Lachto Avneinu Chatzeinu Chalton. The Chalton is something separate. Lachto Avneinu Chatzeinu. So has reference to the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of forgiving in his capacity as chief executive and as chief judge. So, when we say the Yekim Midas, we should have in mind these Yekim Midas, as the Sefer Chasidim passed into the Machriya, that the Achoy of the Knesset Yisrael, throughout the ages, that the Yekim Midas consist of Rachum Chan, Lachupayim, of Chesed Emes, it's Chesed Lalopim, Mitzilobim, Bopesha, Lachupayim, Binakei, Visalachto, Lavenu Muchatosom, Lavenu Muchatosemu Muchatosom.
Amen. 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 Am